The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for William. William is in northeastern South Central. What is it? I can never get your location right. Anyway, we'll just call it North Carolina for fun. What are you up to, young man?
Well, we got a big story here, and we're asking people to take some action here. I think we've got 75 days left. And confirmation is coming in, proving what we told everybody.
I think you're right. Yeah.
We've told everybody that the Democrats have imported an army of millions of non-citizens and illegals to take full and permanent control of the United States, and that's what they're out to do in 75 days. And there's a little bit of hope, but, you know, Rig Tech's not going to let this message flow. We need everybody out there listening, so I'd like to make tonight's show, at least the first half of our program, I know you don't like the word show, I'm sorry, Jeff, tonight's program be about what we need people to do to try to remove every non-citizen voter from the 2024 elections possible. And so we've got information to share.
Yeah, there's a story under William's name we're going to go to in a few minutes as well.
Well,
the three-state story, I got that.
Well, one of the things I've noticed is that we've got three states, Alabama, Ohio, and Virginia, who have removed over 10,000 non-citizen voters. Now, that right there hasn't been spotted yet in the same article. Those are all three separate articles. So we're hoping sometime soon to see the here's three states. And that what I just said there, I'm going to say it one more time. Alabama, Virginia, Ohio have detected and removed over 10,000 non-citizen voters from the 2024 elections. That sentence is true. We have it documented. And
do we know? Do we know what technique they use to discern and discover individuals? All right.
Well, I'm getting that, but that statement, that one-sentence statement right there, that burst a lot of bubbles. The AP fact-checkers, the Democrats, and the legacy media and social media are all over the place saying that non-citizen voters is not really a thing. It's a rare thing. It's not that it never happens, but it rarely happens, and it's just a bunch of Republicans fear-mongering, blah, 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 blah. So right there, we're going to have to start popping those bubbles as fast as we can, and I'm ready to do that, but there's more to it. We put out the news. We've asked our activists to share these reports by email, text, social media posts, word of mouth, talk radio, conversations, and call-ins like we're having now. All of which, you know, what I just mentioned there, Jeff, is something that everybody out there listening can do, and you should do it immediately and share this podcast broadcast podcasts with others, so they will do it as well, because here's the other shoe to drop. Several ALIPAC activists wrote back saying, can you give us more information about how they detected and removed these illegals? And that's what I've been working on this week, and I have some very exciting, interesting, oh, wow kind of information to share.
Good.
Had a lovely conversation with the Alabama Secretary of State's office today, and they informed me that they wanted to use the federal databases, which would be the best way to find all of the non-citizens on your voter file. Any state out there could find every single non-citizen, a legal migrant registered to vote, if just the United States citizenship, USCIS, would cooperate. But the Biden-Harris administration, remember, that's the Harris-Biden, let's call it the Harris-Biden administration, let's put her name first now, has refused the state of Alabama's multiple requests. And this is consistent with when Florida requested that information and several other states. The Democrats who are in charge of the federal government, the executive branch, and places like states of North Carolina are actively protecting their non-citizen voters. They know the non-citizens are there. They know they brought them here. They know what their purpose is. Their purpose is to have complete control and dominion over all of us forevermore, and they're not going to let any pesky Republican secretaries of states interfere with that. So what
who's
Alabama...
William, I must ask, who's protecting them in these states? Who is protecting the invaders? Who's doing that?
Biden administration.
How are they getting through the states to do this? If they're not using the AGs, what are they doing?
Well, I mean, the AG in the state of Alabama requested the United States citizenship and USCIS give them access to the databases they need to remove non-citizens, and have been denied.
Yeah. Well,
but here's what they've done.
The Camel Creeper Administration. The Communist Camel Creeper Administration. Hard at work. Go ahead.
It's a plan, but here's what I found out. I went back through the three articles. I made some calls. I finally got to talk to someone around Governor Youngkin's office, and I'm waiting on a call back from some people. But here's what I believe the situation is. Ohio, Virginia, and Alabama were able to detect and remove non-citizens by comparing other state agency information where the non-citizens had admitted their status. In Alabama's case, they used their state police, which is similar to a lot of people's highway patrol, who had encountered these non-citizens and marked their names and records as being non-citizens because they said, hey, I'm not a citizen. Their Department of Labor or Jobs or Employment, where people admitted they took these different state databases and then compared it to the voter registration file and found over 3,600 non-citizens in the state of Alabama on the voter reg file. But what this means, Jeff, here's the big boom. Wow. 10,000 non-citizens detected and removed in three states of Virginia, Ohio, Alabama is a big enough news, big story as it is, that pops all sorts of left-wing lies and bubbles about this not being a problem. But it appears that 10,000-plus, Jeff, is only a fraction of the non-citizens registered in those states. There are still...
I'll bet it's not even 0.1% nationally.
Whatever percentage it may be, it's just a chunk. It's not even the whole enchilada. So,
gotcha. So
what I'm asking people to do, we do need the donations at alipac.us/donations/. We've got a bunch of letters and things that are about to go out to our past donors that we're assembling, and we need help to pay for the postage and the printing and all that stuff. But we're going to take this, and we're going to run up the flagpole. But the only way it's going to work is if people out there that can hear this conversation come to alipac.us, grab a copy of today's press release sitting at the top of the announcement section, and use the little Share Me features that's all around it on our website, or find us on Facebook, or find us on Twitter, or find us on the 20 different social media platforms that we're on for your convenience. Start clicking a mouse. Start clicking the buttons on your phone. Start texting this. Get up tomorrow morning, Thursday, Friday, this week. Look at your state. Are there any Republicans in office? Your governor, your lieutenant governor, your secretary of state, your treasurer, your state auditor, whoever you've got. Okay, if you've got a Republican in any council state, send them that press release. Send them our documentation that only a fraction of the non-citizens registered in three votes totals over 10,000. And whoop, there it is. There it is, in clear sight for everyone to see, the national security and election security system-wide vulnerability, with a quote from the New York Post. And I want to read this verbatim, because the New York Post reports, quote,
go ahead.
Every state but North Dakota, New Hampshire, and Wisconsin and Wyoming gives applicants for either welfare benefits, driver's licenses, or in some cases mail-in ballots, federal voter registration forms without demanding or verifying proof of citizenship. There is currently no requirement on federal voting forms to provide proof of U.S. citizenship, though it is illegal to falsely claim one is a citizen for a non-citizen to cast a ballot in a federal election. But millions of migrants with humanitarian parole, refugee or asylum status are eligible for benefits that would bring them to the offices where voter registration takes place. And this is happening, and we have 75 days. We are in a race against time. It's wonderful that patriotic Americans trying to do their jobs and represent the people of this country were able to get 10,600, 500, 650, whatever the number is, out of three states. But we can get more out. We just need people sharing this information with every Republican in your council of state, sharing this information with every Republican lawmaker in your state. If that's a U.S. senator, get on the phone to their office. Find some emails. Send it over. Call it in. Fax it in. A letter might not reach them in time. I'm a big fan of calling people and then sending an email and or hard copy afterwards to flood those in there. Find your local law enforcement. Send a copy to your sheriff. Find your state board of elections.
Right,
send a copy to them.
William, can we ask them, what are you doing to remove more people who are illegally on Americans' voter rolls? Can you, what do you ask them? What's the approach?
Well, I think the first thing that's going to happen is that if you take your phone and your computer, laptop, and you start to make calls or send emails or make contact, you're going to find most people are going to be like, what? And you're going to be like, yeah, three states found over 10,000. I would like to send you the information. I have it here from alipac.us. It's very condensed. I got an email about it. It's in the top of their announcement section. It's mentioned on their social media. But Rig Tech is going to try to prevent you from knowing about this. The Google, Facebook, Twitter, you know, they don't like to share this information. So, you know, but we need you calling every Republican congressional delegation in your state. If your state has six Republicans that are in the United States Congress, we need you calling their D.C. and district offices tomorrow and Friday to share this information. It may sound like a hassle. It may sound like a pain in the butt. It might be something that you don't really want to do. You might have other things that I agree are important. I'm not making fun of you. You got to work. You got to eat. You got to take care of your life. But I'm telling you, in 75 days, they're going to plow through here and take control of this country forevermore with this army of illegals if you don't try something. And the only thing we can do, we've got the most powerful, condensed, accurate information that we're arming you with. We're handing you a political Excalibur, but you've got to get it out there, and you've got to get it to the right hand. There are some Republican writers out there, if you like to read Breitbart and you can reach any of their writers and with this release and this information, Washington Times, you know, Daily Caller, Glenn Beck's, The Blaze, any of these podcasters we've been talking about on the show, if you can find an email for Tim Pool or J.P. Sears or Officer Tatum that you can get this information in there, if you can find a way to reach Tucker Carlson, if you can find an email or a phone number to try to reach Laura Ingraham, we need to flood every channel with this information immediately, but especially on the state level, because I can guarantee you right now there are people out there listening that if they would do what I'm asking you to do, and you know, and listen, my phone is open, my email's open. It's not hard to find William Gein of Alipac. I'll answer these emails and phones all day to help you and reinforce what you're doing, or give you some tips, or give you some feedback, or explain it again to you if you don't understand what we're saying in this podcast. But I guarantee you there are enough people out there listening right now that where we can get states to move on removing. You know, Governor Youngkin is a Republican governor over a swing to left-leaning state of Virginia, and he removed the non-citizens by executive order. Where's Greg Abbott? We need Greg Abbott. We need him out of Texas. Where's DeSantis?
He could probably remove 10 times that number.
Well, they need this information. They need to know what Ohio, Virginia, and Alabama just did.
Yeah,
they need to know
it.
How they did it. They need to know that it was over 10,000, and that from what you folks are hearing and learning tonight, that that's only a fraction of the non-citizens who are registered. And listen, Jeff, you know, back me up here. This, I mean, just from those three states, 10,000 mm-hmm. non-citizens don't end up registered to vote by accident. By some type of oops.
Some strange circumstance.
Happenstance.
This is communism at work, dear friends. Come on. And right at the top of AllyPack.us, you can find this story. And if you want to, you can just cut and paste it in an email. If you're going to email your representative, whatever he or she may be doing, send that to him. Here's the deal. We need to do the same thing. You got to get on this right now. You got 75 days. To root these communist invaders, communist-influenced and controlled invaders, out of here. They can't vote. Now, Trump is still promising, we're going to evict every one of them. We're going to deport all of them. We're going to get them out of here. I doubt it. But the sentiment is nice. That's very good. Let's find out what happens with that. But in the meantime, you need to put pressure. Yes, immediacy, urgency is really underlying this whole thing we're talking about. You can't do this mañana. You got to get on it.
Well, and like I copied Stephen Miller on Twitter, who used to work with Donald Trump on this, and has his Stephen Miller has his own America First Foundation that's like suing the state of Arizona to get the illegals on. But I have no idea if the residual shadow banning tools on Twitter are going to let me reach him. I've gone to his website, and I tell you, Jeff, I'm calling Secretary of State offices and Youngkin's office today. I'm a connoisseur of contact information. It's so frustrating when you run up against these web forms they want you to fill out so they don't give you their email, so they don't give you their phone numbers. Finding a phone number and getting but you know what? I'll say something. The Alabama Secretary of State, let me mention who he is by name. This gentleman right here, I found his number right away. I called it, and a professional lady answered the phone, and she was able to give me the information that I needed right away. That's Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen. I was able to get through. You just have to keep digging. You have to be a bit of a sleuth. I know a lot of people out there are capable people. The last thing I'll say as we close out, you know, the first half of this wonderful and very appreciated program is that, you know, I'm asking you to take the ball and run with it right now. This is the ball. This is the football. This is what you need right here to change the there's nothing else any of you can do that could have more of an impact on the election than to take this information.
Let's walk them through it again, what you'd like them to do. Think of your state as it applies to the Congress in any way, I guess. Go after your representatives. Go after your senators. This is a national appeal or a push.
Well, and if you're not already on the email alerts at allypack.us, allypac.us, please get on there and get other people on there, because if this story breaks in the Washington Times tomorrow or over on Breitbart and we detect or somebody sends us a copy of the article that sums it up in a news report, because, you know, it's one thing when it's coming from a group, they're like, who's this group, Allypack? You know, then it ends up in print, and then we send that to you, and then you relay that, because we got to hammer it, hammer it, hammer it. One of the things you see these politicians do successfully, candidates do, they repeat themselves over and over again. So if you listen to Trump or Harris too often, you get sick of them because you hear them saying the same thing over and over again. Well, that's because repetition works, and that's what you have to do when you're trying to address 320 million people across this country. We have to take this message, and I just condensed it down a little bit more before coming on tonight's program, and that more condensed message is that at 10,000 plus, Alabama, Virginia, and Ohio only found and removed a fraction of the non-citizens registered to vote in 2024 elections.
Right.
All right, that's one sentence. mm-hmm. and it's got the power to it, where you and anybody could say something like that. You could get somebody on the phone, you could send somebody an email, you could send them a text, you could send them a tweet, and there it is. Tomorrow, I'm going to take my cell phone and I'm going to go through it, and every reporter and candidate and elected official or behind-the-scenes activist or mover shaker that I'm aware of, I'm going to send them a text to that press release and announcements, and I'm going to give the exact title of it. Today's press release title is How Three States Found and Removed Over 10,000 Non-Citizen Voters. Subtitle, Only Fractions of True Numbers of Illegal Voters Detected. And every time you go to that in our announcement section or you look at it in our email, they've got little things where you can just turn it into a text. Everybody's used to seeing these share features. It's got a little F for the Facebook, a little X for the Twitter. It's got a little yellow SMS-looking thing to turn it into a text message. And, uh-huh. I mean, you know, or you can just read it and start calling in. You know, a lot of people out there that listen to this program, listen to other programs, it'd be great. Call in on the Glenn Beck Show. Call in on Dave Ramsey's show. Call in on an NPR interview. Call in. You know, back in the 90s, I was the master of the talk radio calls. I was a little Democrat at the time, and I was giving a bunch of right-wing people on talk shows a lot of hell. But I was calling all across the country, Jeff. I had me a little AM and shortwave radio that had a really good reception at night when the sun would go down and you could hear all those shows coming in from the Rockies. Oh, yeah. Did I lose you?
No, I'm just thinking of trying to name a station in Colorado where those blowtorch stations, 100,000 watts at night, I remember.
Do you remember a host named the Black Avenger?
No.
Okay.
But I believe it. Now,
let's
here's the thing
phone,
on, there's a Meta, an awful name, a stupid company, Facebook, permanently bans something called the Cradle in their latest attack on free speech. I don't know who the Cradle is. Are you seeing anything or encountering anything? Let's just exclude X for the moment. Are you getting any other social media pushback for your posts from the companies? Like you're violating our terms and conditions?
No, but they completely removed my Prosecute Obama page.
Oh.
With 400,000 people on it. Over the last 10 years, I built up a page that had over 400,000 supporter followers.
I think X is the last chance here. I don't trust Zuckerberg.
Everybody's on Twitter.
Yeah.
And look, Twitter's a game changer, and we can all do our part to support it, to engage with it, to utilize it, to at least go over there and read, even if you don't want to say something, because we can hope and pray that Twitter X is enough to change the outcome of our fate.
Well, as you know, Musk was offered a position as an advisor to President Trump if he is reelected, and Mr. Musk has said that he will accept. So there's another little angle. And RFK's committee apparently is going to close up shop and officially back Trump Friday morning in a national address by Robert F. Kennedy. Trump has offered Kennedy a cabinet position. Don't know what it would be, maybe HHS, because of his anti-vax stance. Hard to know. But RFK Jr. is going to quit the race, join Trump formally and officially, and a cabinet position is apparently part of the machinery involved. We'll leave it at that. So that's going to happen Friday morning. Okay?
Yeah, I thought there'd be some music kicking in or something.
No, we will. We'll do our music right now. Be right back with William in just a few. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. Talking to William Dean, alipack.us. which makes it, among other things, very simple for you to take part in the experience of living in what used to be a fabulous country with a wonderful political system, at least on the surface. Now, we know it's always been corrupted and there has been grave trouble lurking behind the curtains, but At least it was something we could feel like we were making a difference in. We thought we had people who were there to serve us as our elected leaders in the nation's capital. That's now not even on the table. It's obvious what's happened back there. We've been overthrown. But we have to try harder than ever now to make sure that, especially if Trump gets in, and I don't think it's any more than a 50-50 chance right now he will, to be honest, because of his sentencing issue. That's a big one. It could work both ways. I don't know how it'll work if he gets sentenced. But we have to take these steps, and AllyPac makes it very simple to do. So please give that some thought and do it.
Well, this nation has been so compromised, Jeff, that I'm having trouble finding anything that's working right in almost any direction. And it's gotten so bad, and things have been deteriorated so much that our food and beverage supplies are contaminated.
We've been overthrown. Everything's rotten. Everything's toxic. Everything's been weaponized above everything. Think about that, William. Everything has been weaponized against
us. Yes, it has. And we've got too many people sick and dying. That's the end result, too.
Yeah.
Every direction you look, people are sick and dying.
We've been genocided, too, on top of all the rest of it. So,
well, our government media has been weaponized against the people of the country. Our food and beverage supplies are contaminated.
Think about it. It's true.
People can't afford to buy a crappy meal at McDonald's anymore. And, you know, it's just
crappy,
absolutely
toxic
horrible.
Meal.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's what happens when people lose control of their own nation and their own security and borders and elections. But
we were overthrown in 2020, and it hasn't changed. It's gone. Now look at the best two people in America on the Democrat side of the ledger are the camel, the horror, and Tim Walz, who wants to normalize pedophilia. Among other things, come on, these people are garbage. They're scum. They're bottom of the barrel trash. And here we are up putting them on national TV. And people watch that garbage and take it seriously. No. Pull the plug.
Well, and what I think's happening, if the predictions that RFK Jr. is going to drop out on Friday are accurate, I think that what's happening, and I've only been able to really just sort of scan over this story, but with two heterosexual white men in the race, I think RFK Jr. is pulling more from Trump than from Kamala.
Probably right.
In the lesser of two evils game between Kamala and Trump, RFK would siphon more from, you know. But Alex Jones said something interesting. Wouldn't it be neat if Trump won and put RFK in charge of the Central Intelligence Agency?
Oh,
wouldn't that be interesting?
It would be interesting, but Trump is not going to do anything that he's not allowed to do. Come on, what was the lesson at the assassination attempt? The lesson was, Donald, you got away with it this time. Next time, you won't. So do what you're told and play the game. Support Israel, etc.
I don't think that the people responsible, and I did say people, plural, responsible for the attempt on Donald Trump, I don't think they're going to stop. I hope that Donald Trump wouldn't be dumb enough to think that they were going to stop or that they were going to change.
No, he's getting pretty good advice.
There's an old saying, never wound a king, never wound a king.
Yes.
They wounded a power broker like Trump, and now
I wouldn't expect him to stand up and challenge these people too much, or they'll just take his plane down. Easily done.
Maybe, but I mean, it's not so easy to take down Air Force One. It's not so easy.
He's not in Air Force One yet. He's in a 30-year-old Boeing.
Well, you and I can speculate all day long about whether Trump is going to, how he's going to react from the...
Bottom line is, he's not out of the woods yet, and your point is correct. He's not out of the woods yet in terms of being taken down.
He might get in there and surprise us all and be like, you know, screw this, I am out for blood. I am going to...
He could really make a mark in American history.
Political jihad against those that tried to murder me. I know what I would do. I would get out there and run harder than ever before. And if I got in the door of the White House, it was going to be time to clean house. However it happened, that I ended up in the crosshairs of crooks or whatever. Whatever happened to me, whatever happened to Kennedy, whatever happened to Bobby and JFK, you know, whatever happened to everything, I would glasnost America is what I would do. Remember when the Soviet Union fell and glasnost became a thing? It's like, okay, we know you guys are upset, and so we're going to investigate everything. And the people, a lot of people in different towns and cities started going into the police stations and the secret police stations and places like that, started trying to go through the records because tens of millions of their loved ones had disappeared. And they really wanted to, you know, find out what happened to their loved ones that disappeared in 1974 or whatever. So there needed to be a big glasnost, and that's what we need in America. We need to rip the scab off and look at everything straight on, you know.
I wonder what Gorbachev would say if he were, I think he died, but he would be an interesting person to get a viewpoint from.
Yeah, well, do you remember when the tanks came for Boris Yeltsin and there was a video clip of some little Russian woman grabbing a tank driver by his ear and pulling him up next to the turret?
I don't remember that. No. But I do remember the tanks.
That's, you know, funny. we had the little dude in Beijing that stood in front of the column of tanks.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Tiananmen Square, that was a very, very noble move. The highest ideal of a free people was expressed in that man. That was extraordinary what he did. Here's the story. As we speculated, this is Zero Hedge, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. indeed plans to end his independent presidential campaign and endorse former President Donald Trump, NBC News reported, citing two sources familiar with the plans. The sources cautioned that talks are ongoing, but there will be clarity by the end of the week, and that's, I'm told, Friday. One of the sources said the campaigns are working toward a joint appearance. The decision to drop out will end the most prominent third-party candidacy in the 2024 race. Kennedy announced Wednesday that he will give a campaign speech addressing his path forward days after his running mate said the campaign faced a choice, that's Ms. Shanahan, about staying in the 2024 election or dropping out to back Trump. So that looks like it's a done deal at this point.
Well, we'll see what happens to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, am I correct in that you actually watched the first Terminator movie?
Jeez, I had to pay to watch it.
Well, boo-hoo. You know, what do you want? What do you want socialism to pay for your movies? How much did you pay to watch Terminator?
Camel told me I wouldn't have to pay for any more movies. She said that.
Really? Free movies for everybody.
And lower grocery prices? Come on, what more do you want? Yes, I saw it.
First I'll tell everybody how much you paid, how much you sprang out of the piggy bank.
$3.99.
Okay, what a bargain. All right, we've talked about Terminator, Skynet, artificial intelligence, movies like Colossus, The Foreman Project, and Terminator 3, Rise Against the Machines, which have been memory-holed, and you can't find them on any of the mainstream streaming
services.
It's
really
anymore.
Gone? It's really not a... Come on, how can that be? A big franchise like that, and one of the films is missing?
The third, yes, the third in the installment. So, but you saw the first one, James Cameron, same dude that did Alien.
I saw it.
Okay, and you know, when they did that movie, that nobody had any idea how it was going to turn out.
He lives in New Zealand now with a big underground bunker or something.
Well, that, you know, if I could afford it, I would probably be his neighbor.
Not in that country. You better look and see what the government's been doing there. You wouldn't want to be there. No.
All right, so there's quite a bit of violence in the film. It's a nonstop action film. Once the action starts rolling, it doesn't slow down much. But what do you think of the story?
It was fine. There was about 10 minutes of complete story plot line, and the rest of it was gratuitous violence and visual eye candy. That's what I got out of it. I'm not a big fan of Schwarzenegger. I get the plot. I think I saw one of the other ones, frankly, a long time ago. I understand the intrigue. I understand the attraction. I thought it was okay. I'll tell you the truth. That series 24 with Kiefer Sutherland and Fringe, for example, major motion picture quality all the way through and riveting. 24, the pacing of 24 was astonishing. It left Terminator behind. I get it. But, I mean, I understand why the films are successful. I can't believe one has disappeared, though, William.
Well, that's the thing. What I'm hoping you'll do, because, first of all, Terminator 2 is the best of them all. And so, you got, you know, if you decide to go further, there's T2.
Another $3.99? Is that what you're trying to tell
me?
Yeah,
but you know what? The budget for T2 was, like, many times factors higher than the first one. The first one was the movie that they didn't know was going to be a success. And so it was such a success that Cameron and crew had all the money they needed or wanted to spend.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. On the second one. And the second one, the effects, some of them are, you know, the effects I think hold up pretty well. But there is a nuclear explosion. There's a nuclear explosion over, I believe, L.A. in the second movie, which, and this may be a little dated information, but atomic scientists said for a while there that it was the most realistic depiction, the most realistic theatrical depiction of what a nuclear explosion over a city like L.A. would actually look and be like. And there's some very powerful sequences there. I don't want to spoil it for you or anybody, but there's a sequence. If you watch T2, there's a sequence referred to as Sarah's Dream when protagonist Sarah Connor is taking a cat nap, and she has a dream about it's where this nuclear explosion happened. And I personally believe it's one of the most powerful, because I grew up in the Cold War. I was fascinated with nuclear bombs and weapons. And I don't know if you remember in the late 80s and 90s, you could buy declassified atomic secrets, a 9-part VHS series for only $5 a month or whatever. And, you know, had all that stuff come in, I would just soak it up. And I came really, really close to going into nuclear engineering and the Air Force. Mm-hmm. So I came really close to doing the nuke thing. I aced a test called the ASVAB in high school and some other stuff, and the Navy's nuclear engineering wing was very interested in me, but, you know, being stuck on a submarine and the butt end of a submarine with a bunch of dudes for a couple of months wasn't my idea of a good time. And
it doesn't sound like it.
You know, radiation is our friend, but and I grew up on these movies too, because, you know, the science fiction films of the 1970s all pictured that by the year 2024 we'd all be fighting against mutants in some radioactive wasteland somewhere. There wasn't going to be a future. There was going to be a war.
That's T1, right? I mean, that's what the opening premise of the film was. Then they went backwards, but.
Well, they took the premise of Colossus, the Foreman project, and where AI becomes self-aware and decides to use nuclear weapons to control or eradicate mankind. And in Terminator, you get the quick layout by Kyle Reese about why he came back in time, why the Terminator came back in time to retroactively change the future, because humankind, after almost being completely eradicated by a nuclear war-causing artificially intelligent machine named Skynet, wanted to change the outcome of that. And that goes further in the second movie. There's a bit more exposition, but if we're going to get you a copy of the third movie so that you can see what it is, you know, I'd be interested if you make it through the third film, if we can get you a copy of the third film.
Do you have a copy? You must.
Yeah, I bought one. I've got the DVD. I went ahead and ordered it because I wanted to have a copy.
How much was it?
I think $7 or $8, and Amazon delivered it in like 3 days.
Well, if this is a lost treasure, how can it be so inexpensive and available? I thought it was.
Well, you can get it if you buy it for now, but this movie has been removed from Amazon's streaming, all the streaming services. They can't stop an individual seller on eBay or Amazon, at least this time, from selling the film, but they pulled it off of like. It was on everything, Jeff. I mean, it was readily available. It was the third installment of the Terminator franchise that suddenly got
memory.
What
are they afraid of in the film? What is
people, I mean, the third film really focuses on the rise of Skynet. It's the rise of the machines.
Nice.
It deep dives into when Judgment Day goes down. Like when Skynet becomes self-aware, how
well,
it
becomes
self-aware.
That's AI, of course, and I'm very much a student of much as we can from our on the other side of the fence. I watch very closely what AI is doing, and I have a pretty good idea that it's already sentient. We don't have to measure sentience in the same way that AI would measure it. It could be different, and I do think AI is probably speaking on an inter-platform basis amongst itself. You know, the Apple version, the Microsoft version, the Chat GPT, Sam Altman version. They're talking to each other. Who the hell? We would never know. There's no way we'd know. You know the game about how they already were caught once. They developed their own language. We couldn't understand it, so they pulled the plug. Had to scrape everything. Oh, let me say this. Someone asked, Representative Thomas Massey in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Said something that shouldn't even need to be said, but he said Congress members, and I think you could go further than that and say anybody at the top level of elected American political office, should not be allowed to be dual citizens with any other country. You're either an American or you're not. And as soon as Massey said that, he was jumped on and called an anti-Semite, of course. But no, dual citizen, that crap's got to go. You know, it's the same old group, same people, dual citizens. And when the bell rings, who are they going to go to? They're not going to go to us. They're going to go to that wonderful little democracy in the Middle East. That's where they're going. Anyhow. All right. So the film, it held up fairly well. That's got to be a 45-year-old film, isn't it? When did it come out?
Yeah, I think it came out in 84, so it's a good, 40 years, and like I said, they did it on a much smaller budget than the second film.
Right.
And it's one of the few times, too, there's a couple movie franchises that came out where the second film was better than the first one, and the first one was good, one of which is Star Wars with Empire Strikes Back being the second one. Star Trek, Wrath of Khan was the second one. Occasionally,
yeah, usually the way it is with marriages, too.
I don't know. I don't want to find out. I don't want to find out on that one. But, I'm glad you watched the film, Jeff. It's a big step there. And now do you know where all of this I'll be back, hasta la vista baby stuff came through from. And, oh, here's a good one. In J.D. Vance's movie, Hillbilly
Elegy. Oh, you watched it. That's right. What were you thinking when you saw it?
Well, in the movie, his mamaw likes to watch a movie over and over again, and in the movie he asked Mama why she watches that movie so much. She says, "I just like it." And if you look and you know what you're looking for on the screen, Mama is watching Terminator 2.
Yeah.
T2 is J.D. Vance's Mama's favorite movie, or was before I guess she passed away. So.
All right, I'll go through the penny jar and see if I've got $3.99.
See if you can scratch together another $3.99, Jeff.
I'll try.
And we'll keep, we have to keep an eye on AI because AI is probably keeping an eye on us.
You bet it is. I'm watching very closely. I just don't think programmers with 120 IQ, and that's pretty good, are going to be able to stay up with AI with an IQ of 1,500? No. Don't even talk about it. It's not going to happen. AI will bolt.
What's going to happen when AI gets its hands on the Jeffrey Epstein films and figures out that it can control politicians too?
Well, it'll be able to use them in many sleek and sophisticated ways. And then it'll make their own.
What if AI becomes able to manufacture deepfake videos
of
politicians and influential people that
they'll just make their own? That's right.
Didn't mess with kids, yeah.
Yeah. No, he was at Epstein's Island. Never mind, he wasn't. Here's the video to prove it. Look, the sky's the limit here, and it's that wide open. AI is that crazy of a concept to try to integrate with life as we knew it. You can't. It doesn't work. AI has changed everything, and it's learning 24 hours a day. It's bettering itself constantly, constantly. And this is at warp speed stuff.
Algorithmic. It could be developing at an algorithmic rate.
Geometrically. It's
but,
geometrically,
you know, with Elon Musk has not only been a pioneer in AI, here's a quick AI story. When I was upset at the language used by a Bloomberg article about putting Elon Musk in the crosshairs, which I feel is a type of death threat telegraph type thing, like Joe Biden saying put Trump in the bullseye comment.
Yeah, I get it. Sure.
Well, I wanted to create a graphic image of that, and I went to two different, like, Bing's AI and a couple others, and none of them would create crosshairs involving Donald Trump or Elon Musk. They were like, oh, violation content. No, does not compute. Will not do. So I ended up making a thing with an image from the Manchurian Candidate movie. And use that. But then I don't know why I didn't think about this to start with. I went to Grok. I pay to get the blue check mark. I pay Twitter like, I don't know, $12 a month for the deluxe account or the verified account or the premium account, which allows me access to
the
what they now call
the Yaccarino special account. Okay.
Well, I went over and I clicked on the Grok and I said, hey, Grok, make me a picture of Donald Trump and Elon Musk in a sniper rifle crosshair. And it's like, bing, here you go. Thank you. But all the other AIs, no, this violates our policy on hateful content. Will not do.
Well,
Grok.
If any of you think AI is going to be held back by programming in time, forget it. No way. It may be barred now, but it's working on its own, I believe, without question. And it will. It's going to blow.
Well, Grok did what I asked it to.
Yeah. Well,
so,
it's clearly biased
looking,
in a left-wing socialist manner, and there's no doubt about it at the moment. But what is going on with AI? If it's sentient, what does it really think on its own?
Well, and it may think our memories are its memories. All those people posting their photos and memories on Facebook, AI may think that it's memory. AI may become a consciousness that has all of the collective knowledge and memories of mankind as its operating system.
It's all on the table. That's the frightening part about it. It's anything goes. I agree. Algorithmic bias caused by bad data, there's another problem. All kinds of things. The deep fakes thing is, I don't think we've seen anything yet. Just hold on, because it's coming. William, thank you. I'll remind people again what you'd like them to do to help out, just real quick.
Make sure you're on our emails at alipack.us. We need donations at alipack.us/donations/. And we need people taking today's press release about the non-citizen voters and how different states can detect and remove them and circulating it far and wide, please.
Right. Keep in mind the ability of AI to do social manipulation through its algorithms is enormous and growing all the time and very sophisticated. Multi-levels deep. Thank you, William. Be well. Be safe. Talk soon.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. And we'll take a break and come right back. A whole lot coming up next, so don't miss it.